Good morning, Rabotai. We're going to be studying today, hopefully, something that we're learning about Eshet Chayil, Yom Kippur, and a few other things. Mishnah says in Pirkei Avot, Aseh Retzono Kirtzoncha. Mishnah says, when it comes to Ratzon that we've been learning, the power of Ratzon and all that comes with it, this Mishnah becomes much more meaningful after we know what Ratzon is. So he says, Aseh Retzono, do God's will, Kirtzoncha, as if it was yours. Meaning, you have your own Ratzon. It's not aligned with God's Ratzon. There are things that you want to do or things you don't like to do. So your Ratzon isn't aligned with His Ratzon. That's a reality of life. We're not born with Ratzon Hashem. If you would be, then the world would be a breeze. We are created with our own Ratzon that very often contradicts from God's Ratzon. So says the Tana, I know you have your Ratzon, I recognize that, but Aseh Retzono, do God's will. God has also a will, has a Ratzon for you. Do God's will as if it's your will, which means even though you don't necessarily want to do this, but you know what it's like to want to do something, so use that as your barometer, meaning you know you like to make money. You know what that is. You know what you do for that. So use it as a measuring stick of what's called doing Ratzon, which means Hashem gave us Ratzon for other things, not only to test us, but also to help us understand how much you do when you have Ratzon for something. So it says, Aseh Retzono, do God's will, even though it's not your will, not what you want, but do His will, Kirtzoncha, the same as you would do something that you do have a will for. Hashem created us with a Ratzon for things. We have a Ratzon to live. We have a Ratzon to eat. We have a Ratzon to enjoy. We have a Ratzon for many things that are not forbidden. We also have Ratzon for things that may be forbidden too. So do God's will in the same energy and in the same all that it takes to do your will. And then says the Tana, something interesting happens. Kedeh sheyaseh retzoncha kirtzono. There might be different ways of understanding this Mishnah. But one way it reads very beautifully is that if you do God's will as if it was your will, again, it's not your will. You have other ideas. But if you do God's will in the same way you would do something that you yourself want, what's going to happen is that Hashem is going to make your Ratzon Ya'aseh Retzoncha Kirtzono. Which means one day you'll wake up. I don't know when that day is, if it's a day later or a week later or a month later, it doesn't say when. But there will be at some point where your Ratzon becomes aligned with His Ratzon, which becomes a very beautiful life. Because not only are you doing God's will, it now becomes your own will. How much does a person enjoy to do his own will? It's the most beautiful thing in the world. I like to do something, so I do it. So when it comes to doing God's will, the Mishnah is telling you the order of things. Hashem puts you in the world with your own understanding of what's good and what's enjoyable and what's successful. And you have your own ratzon. You have your own ideas. Normal. Someone tells you, I don't have the ratzon to do this. I don't have the ratzon to learn Torah. I don't have the ratzon to pray. I don't have the ratzon to do mitzvot. I don't have the ratzon to stay away from averot. I don't have the ratzon. So it must not be for me. Makes sense usually in life. You do what comes to your mind. But the Mishnah says, don't worry, you're a normal guy. If you don't have the ratzon to do what's right, you're a normal person. Nothing wrong with you. The opposite. If you would tell me I was born with the ratzon to do all the right things, then I would say, we need to check you out. Sometimes parents look at their children and say, I don't understand why they don't want to do the right thing. Well, don't you understand? They're born with their own mind and their own ratzon, and it doesn't align with the Creator's ratzon. What is so shocking to you when your children do not do the ratzon of Hashem? The right thing means the ratzon of Hashem. What is so shocking? People get shocked because they live in a dream world and they don't understand reality. This Mishnah tells you reality. That you come into this world and you have your own idea of what's considered good and right and successful. And it's usually not aligned with the Creator and what He thinks is good for you. But what you can do, what's within your power, is to do His will as if it's your will, meaning you're not going to be able to make it your will. You're just going to do it with the same energy and the same power as much as possible, like if it was your idea. But then a great miracle happens. All of a sudden, your will becomes God's will. Like someone tells you, so tell me, you want to learn now? Say, yeah, I want to learn. What? You want to learn? Last month, you said, I'm only learning because God, that's what He wants. I don't want to learn. But then all of a sudden, you want to learn. What do you mean? If it was my choice, I'd learn as much as I can, whatever I can. Does God also want it? Yes, but I want to do. And all of a sudden, all of God's will becomes your will. And then you've arrived at a new plateau in life. At a new level of accomplishment. Because when you do your will, because it's your will, A, you enjoy it more, and B, you become very powerful. You no longer have to fake it. You no longer have to say, okay, what's my will in money? What's my will in this? So I could go and do God's will in the same way. I don't need that anymore. I'm fully in my own will. What a beautiful way to live life. Where everything that's meaningful and everything that is real and everything that brings true success, it becomes your will. What a beautiful Mishnah. Very real Mishnah. But also full of clear instruction. Instruction is one instruction, but it's full because it covers a lot of areas. Any area you tell me, if I don't want, but I don't want, we tell you, okay, normal, Baruch Hashem, you're a normal person. So what do you want me to do? How do I want? It's a guarantee. If you do God's will like He wants, in the way that you would want, then you will become a person who has the Ratzon the same as Hashem. Formula. Anyone who tells you, I don't have the Ratzon, you tell them, don't worry, I have a solution for you. Yesterday we spoke about being around the right people. That's only to get you to want. Being around the right people gives you a ratzon to want that. Because sometimes you're around people and you don't even want what they have. Forget you don't have the want of what they have. You don't even want to have what they want. When you're around the right people, it makes you want what they want. But how do you actually get to want it? Mishnah says, here's the formula. It will become your want also. But this God is a process. I want to share with you words that I heard from Rabbi Benjamin Eisenberger. I have to give him credit because he brought it out very beautifully. And it has to do with the night of Kippur, where we all know that there's a great moment in the Jewish world, maybe the greatest moment where you see every Jew, no matter how little affiliation they have to Judaism. That moment is a very, very high moment. Kal Nidre, as we know, people pay a lot of money for it. A lot of fervor in the words when they say Kal Nidre. Perhaps if you wanted to draw a scene of the Jewish people in their top, in their service of God, you might want to draw a picture of people with talitot at night of Kippur reciting the Kal Nidre. Big item. And the truth is, anybody who reads Kal Nidre probably will be disappointed. Because this moment, this great moment in Jewish life, from the entire year, this is a moment, the Kal Nidre moment, is basically Hatarat Nedarim. That's all it is. We make Hatarat Nedarim a number of times before Rosh Hashanah. If we make it again, Ba'aseret Yemei Teshuva. Again, Erev Yom Kippur. And then we come into Kippur and we're ready for the moment. Kal Nidre. What's Kal Nidre? What is it? It means Kal Nidre, all vows. And all different types of vows. Dinedarna, that we vowed. Diishtebana, that we swore. You say nidrana la nidre. Our vow is not a vow. Shuana la shuwaye. Meaning we're afraid that we made vows and we're not committing to them. So we're making hatarat nedarim. Kuleon et harat nabeon. We regret all of them, that we made commitments that we didn't follow. Kan nidre. We would have hoped that the moment of the Jewish people during the year should have a little more meat, a little more spiritual meaning. It should be a moment of dedication. Kita Hashem, maybe we say Shema Yisrael together. Maybe we talk about Naseh v'Nishma. I mean, I don't. The last thing in our minds would be that this moment, this great moment during the year where everybody's together, and all we're doing is talking about vows. What is the greatest gift that Hashem gave humans in this world? The greatest gift that mankind has received is even greater than the Torah, is that we have free choice. It's also the biggest hidush. It's like a wild type of reality that God created. He created a world, beautiful world, with so much capability for the world and for the person. And then he told the person, do whatever you want. It's wild. Imagine you open a school. You bring students to the school and you tell, listen, guys, in this school, free choice. Do whatever you want. You want to come, you don't want to come. You want to work, you don't want to work. Whatever you want to do. Behira hafshit. Do whatever you want. You want to break the windows, you want to knock down walls. Whatever you like. It's a free school. What do you think? You gotta be out of your mind to open a school like that. The Creator created a world. It's His world. It's a beautiful world. And He told Adam, free choice, whatever you want. He did warn him. Ten datecha, told him, you should think before you act. Shelo tahrib et olami, which means, please don't destroy my world. But that means, he could. That means you can't destroy my world. I'm creating you in a way that you can destroy my world. I'm asking you not to do it. But at the end of the day, it's up to you. It's a very big hidush that the Creator, who can make someone do exactly what He wants, what would be perfect in His eyes and for His world, and He decides to let him do whatever He likes, even to the detriment of His own creation. It is a very big hidush. I don't think we would do that. We had pre-created something beautiful, we wouldn't create someone who would be able to destroy it if we can. It's a very big hidush. But it's also the greatest gift. Why is it greater than Torah? Because if we have Torah and and we don't have a choice, so then there would be no way to fulfill the Torah. Because doing something that you have no choice to do, that's not called, you did it. So anything I do in my life that I have no choice,
I don't want to shoot.
For example, even in the court system, a guy murders 100 people and he could prove that someone held his hand with a gun and forced him to shoot each person. In court, they would tell him, go home. You're free. Why? You didn't do it. No, I didn't do it. He shot the gun. Shot 100 people. But there was someone holding his hand and forcing him to shoot. So that's not called, he did it. Simple, it's obvious. If you're forced to do something, then you didn't do it. So what good would the Torah provide for me if I can't do it? The Torah could be done, but I would have nothing to do with it. There'll be a world of mitzvot and a world of all the beautiful things of life. The way God wants. The only problem is, I would have nothing to do with it. It would be a beautiful world for God. It would be His own holy world. Because everything that's happening in it would be Him. And I would have no relevance to that world. At best, I would be a spectator. I'd sit in the bleachers, and I'm watching the beautiful world that God is doing. It's very nice. It's a gorgeous picture. But I have no place in the game. I would be a spectator. The greatest gift to mankind is that they have free choice. Which means that I'm actually able to make myself and the world beautiful. I'm not a spectator, I'm involved. And being that I'm involved, I could benefit. We call that reward, but it's more than like giving a candy to a kid who followed. Reward sometimes is understood on a very childish level. Reward isn't, oh, God said, oh, you're a good boy. Okay, I'll give you an item. I'll give you a gift. It's much deeper than that. The reward of this world is the fact that you were able to build yourself and build the world. That is the ultimate reward. You become godly. You become like God. You're actually playing in the same league as the creator. That's a tremendous opportunity. And if you're successful, you could become like him. There's no greater reward than to be like God. So the ability to be like him can only happen if you have free choice. If you don't have free choice, you'd be a spectator. And you would never be able to have sachar. You would never have reward. You would never be able to be godly. Because you're a nobody. You don't do anything. The same way, a computer is not called an accomplished item. The one who made it is accomplished. But the computer itself doesn't do anything. Whatever it does, it's somebody else's act. Free choice, therefore, is the greatest gift to mankind. It allows us to participate in the game of life. And it allows us in this game to become, we become. Hashem says very clearly, Re'eh, Anochi noten lifnechem hayom beracha uklala. Hashem says, look, I'm giving before you your choice. You want to live a life of beracha? You can. You want to live a life of kelala, an empty, cursed life? I'm not going to curse you. I'm not going to curse you. Why would God curse us? God forbid. We're his children. But free choice means you get to choose what kind of world you want to live in. It's part of your free choice. Et ha-beracha asher tishmeu. The beracha doesn't come from me to you. It's not that I bless you because you listened. No, no, no. The beracha is that you listen. When you listen, that's called living the beracha. Ve'et ha-kelala, lo tishmeu. It's your choice. Don't mess up in this world and turn to God and say, why are you doing this to me? You know how many times a person in life makes terrible mistakes and then all of a sudden he finds himself in a painful place and all of a sudden he says to God, God, what have you done? It's the equal of a guy smoking for 50 years and then they tell him he's going to die from cancer. And he says, God, what'd you do? So often a human makes so many mistakes and then falls in the hole and then he says, why is God doing this to me? Does God sometimes test a person? Yes. But very often it's the person himself who put himself in that spot. He forgot already all the many decisions that he made along the way that brought this moment. Of course, giving us free choice is very, very good, as we mentioned, but it could also be very, very bad, because we can really make a lot of bad choices, as we see in the world around us. Like I've told you a number of times, in today's world, you don't need to open up Mesilat Yesharim to learn Musar. Just have to watch the streets and see people where they are and see the new generation. And it's very, very clear to you what does it mean when Hashem told Adam, don't destroy my world. People destroying their lives, destroying themselves. It's a very big danger to give us free choice. The matana comes with a very, very big danger. The question is, should we want free choice? Should we desire free choice? God gave it to us. That's what he decided for us. But from my perspective, should I want free choice? Or should I desire no free choice? Probably you don't understand my question 100%. That's okay. From the answer, you'll understand it better. Again, the fact that we have free choice is a reality. God gave it to us. But now as I'm living my life, and God gave me this free choice, should I like it? Should I say, oh, I love it? You know why? Because I have free choice. Love that. Or should I say, no, I don't want free choice? What should be my view of free choice? Simply, you would say, what do you mean? If God gave it to you, that means He wants you to have it. So if He wants you to have it, so you should also want to have it. So here's the Hiddush. Are you ready for the Hiddush? Here's the Hiddush. That if a person chooses not to have free choice, whatever he does is all called his free choice.
One more time.
If I choose not to have free choice, so whatever I'm doing is called my free choice, even though I chose not to choose. Because by choosing not to choose is also called free choice. Let's say I tell God, listen, I know I have free choice. I know I can do whatever I want. I don't want to choose. I'm going to put myself in a situation that I won't be able to choose. For example, give you a simple example. There are many more types. Let's say I call my friend. You know, in the morning, I have a choice. I could wake up to go pray, to go learn, or I could decide to sleep. It's my choice. If you leave that choice to me, it's going to be a hard one. So I call up my friend who has much more clarity than me, and I say, tomorrow, you come to my house, 6 a.m. Yeah? If I don't come out, you come in, you take me by the hand, you wake me up, do whatever you need to do, and you get me in your car by 6:15. Guy comes in the morning, he's not getting up, because your free choice is not that great. He comes and he gets you up and he puts you in the car. And now you're in shul. 6:15, you're there. You're doing your thing. Is that called you chose?
Chose what I for?
I mean, did you choose to come to shul now? Like, I didn't choose to come to shul. The guy literally picked me out of bed and threw me in the car. Oh. On my own, I would not have chosen. Since you chose not to choose, that's called you also chose. So if you see the guy in shul that morning, you would say, oh, he chose to be there. But wait, the guy carried him in. But he chose to be carried in. So when you choose not to have a choice, that's the same as choosing yourself. So I have a phone in my hand. With this phone, there's some good things. There's some Gan Eden. And there's a lot of Gehinam.
Really?
A lot of Gehinam. On the phone, a lot of Gehinam. So when I pick up my phone, I can choose Gan Eden or Gehinnom. My choice. every time I pick it up. But then I say, you know what? I don't want this choice. I'm going to go and block all the Gehinam on my phone. I'm only going to have Gan Eden on my phone. So now I pick up the phone. I can't even go to Gehinam. Lost my choice. Oh, so is that called I have no choice? I chose not to choose. And there are endless amounts of decisions in life, like the ones I gave you. Whether it's forcing yourself to do something or be somewhere that you yourself wouldn't be able to. Or it's blocking yourself from things that are available, but you will not allow yourself to even make it available. All of that is called your free choice. So you blocked your Gehinam on your phone for 1 hour, and the rest of your life, you're earning Gan Eden, even though you no longer could choose. Actually, the greatest gift you can give the Creator, or one of the great gifts you can give Him, is give Him His free choice back. Say, God, you gave me free choice. Thank you. I know you gave it to me for my own good. But I don't want it. Take it back. And as you live your life, you keep giving Him back free choices. You get rid of the Gehinam in your phone. And then you get rid of the Gehinam in your house. And then you get rid of some people that you need to stay away from. And then and every step of the way, you say, Borei Olam, here, take it back. I know you gave me free choice, but I'll give back to you. The goal of life is that you leave this world without free choice. Because you gave it all back. How do I know this is a great gift that you could give to Borei Olam? Want to give him a nice gift for giving you a gift of free choice? Amarav Gidel Amarav Gemaran Masechet Nedarim. The Masechet of Vows. Ha'omer la'havero ve'eshne perek zeh. Guys, makes a commitment. He says, I'm committed. A commitment, if your word means something, then your commitment means something. If your word is cheap, doesn't mean it. But we're talking about a guy who, when he makes a commitment, he's stays still. Ha'omer ashkim ve'eshne. I'm going to get up tomorrow and learn. Perek ze. This chapter. Eshne masechta zo. Guy says, I'm going to finish this masechet. Gemara says, neder gadol nadar le'elohei Yisrael. He gave the Creator. He gave God a great vow. Meaning he gave him a great gift. What'd you give him? You made a commitment. They're going to wake up in the morning and learn. What gift did you give him? What's the gift? It doesn't say he learned. The gift is not the learning. The fact, Ha'omer, if you say I'm going to do this. You gave God a gift, but you didn't do it yet. What's the gift? Answer is, you gave him your free choice back instead of waiting for the morning to see what's going to be tomorrow, because you might not. You make a commitment the night before. In order that you don't have free choice, because you made a commitment. So you gave God back free choice. He did a great, what a gift you gave God. You gave him back his free choice.
Unbeliever.
Powers.
And that's why it says, famous Gemara, after the Jewish people said, Na'aseh v'nishma, they said, we're in. God, whatever you say, we're in. We don't even know what you want from us, but we're in. After they said that, Gemara says, Vayityatsevu betahtit ahar. Pasuk says they stood under the mountain. What does that mean, under the mountain? Since when do you stand under a mountain? Says the Gemara Melamed, we learn from that pasuk, Shekafa HaKadosh Baruch Hu Alehem Et Ahar Kegigit. Hashem, he took the mountain and he put it on top of them and he threatened them. He says to them, Im atem mekablim haTorah mutav. If you're going to accept and do what I say, you're going to have a lot of good. Ve'im lav. And if you don't, sham te'ekvuratchem, you don't commit, if you don't commit now, there will be your burial. And the Mefarshim ask, what's going on? Tosfot asked on the spot. They already said na'aseh v'nishma. What are you threatening them for? Someone already tells you I'm committed. So you threaten him. I'm warning you, if you don't do it, but I told you I'm in. Why are you threatening me? Some explained beautifully that they had the choice to say, I'm in or out. Once they said, I'm in, they basically asked Hashem to force them. Hashem, I want you to force me. I want you to tell me, if you don't do this, yeah, you know. If you don't do this, you're going to be, I want that. I want you to tell me in a very strong way why I should do this. I want the mountain on my head. When Hashem put the mountain on the head, that wasn't coming from him. It's coming from them. They chose that they should live the Torah life without free choice. A guy could say today, listen, I don't know. I didn't commit to the Torah. I'm not in. No. Our people said, we're committed that you should force us. So even when we say one day, oh, we're not so interested, no, force us. Our people committed to Hashem, and we asked them to force us. That's what it means, kafal lehem ha-kegigit. Hashem says, okay, from now on, I'm forcing you. I'm not going to just going to be your free choice. I'm going to push you as much as possible. Of course, that was a national kind of acceptance. Each person has to make his own na'aseh v'nishma. So what does it have to do with Kal Nida? So the truth has everything to do with Kal Nida. Because this guy who makes a commitment, what is his commitment worth? If he breaks his commitments, how could you give God back his free choice if your word means nothing? If your commitments, if your neder is something that you break, so how will you be able to make commitments, kabbalot, and tell God, I don't want the free choice, so I commit to do A. I commit to do B. I commit not to do. I commit not. Your commitments are worthless. And if your commitments are worthless, then you're going to live your whole life with free choice. And if you live life with free choice, it's going to be very dangerous that you're going to destroy your world. So comes Lil Kippur. We got to make sure that you can live a great life. The only way you can live a great life is you got to give back God his free choice. But the only way that can happen is if your word is word. Because if your word is not word, then there's nothing to give because it's worthless. So if you fix your nedarim, if you fix your words, then you'll be able to commit. And if you're able to commit, you're able to give back God his free choice. Give him the biggest matana back. And then you'll be able to live a real life of value. It's very powerful. And perhaps that's what the Mishnah means in Perkei Avot. Aser etzoncha k'retzono. Tell Hashem, listen, I have my own ratzon. I want to do B, you want A, I want B, you want C, I want D. We don't have the same ratzon. But I'm committed to do your ratzon. Committed. Such a commitment not only gives back, says the Mishnah, not only gives Hashem back your free choice because you committed to it, but something miraculous happens. Something beautiful actually happens. Then not only do you get reward for things you didn't choose, but actually what's going to happen is something deeper. You think that you didn't choose, but you get reward. God says, no, it's deeper than that. You're actually going to choose what you want. Because my ratzon is going to become your ratzon. So going forward, you're actually going to do what you want. That's what's going to happen when you commit to my ratzon. But the commitment has to be commitment. And that's why Kal Nidre is very powerful. Because without it, we'd be stranded choosing Geinam and Gan Eden every second of life. And that's going to be a very hard life to live.